So I'm here with Rabbi Sherki, one of the most known rabbis in the world, and mostly in Israel. Mm-hmm. Very controversial, right?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I've been told that you're very controversial. I've been recommended to you by many people as one of the top rabbis to interview. And the biggest thing for me is I love religion, but it's so difficult to understand. And I just want to get the nuggets for business and life. I just want to know, because I see the Bible and all the books, the wisdom books, I see them as like the rules of success. If you do this correctly, you can get success. And my mission also in life is to write the rules and understand the rules of success, which I figured out some.
It is your own goal, yes.
My own goal, yeah. I figured out some things of success and that blew my business. Mm.
Yes.
So I always look for more of those things. So I was thinking we can talk about that.
Yes, why not? But as you know, persons who are involved with Judaism are fundamentally idealistic people.
What do you mean?
And idealistic people do not search especially success. Mm-hmm. But they want to be connected with God, with the infinite, and their values. And these values also have consequences concerning success. Mm-hmm. But the goal of Torah is not especially to success. It is a benefit above the fact that you are concreting your ideals.
Mm-hmm. So, what is the goal of Torah or the Bible?
The sanctity. I mean that if you consider the world as an entity and the creator outside of the world, so you have no contact. We have no contact between the one who has created the world and the world itself. But Torah makes a relationship, a channel between infinite and the world, the created entity. There is a consequence concerning what is interesting you. When you speak about success, the fact that we are connected with the source of life brings up us to expand, to have more a wider how do you say horizon. Mm-hmm. And so it is evident that if you are connected with the creator of the world, you are also successful.
Yeah, I heard, I understand that you become more like God the more you... So the difference between human and God is how much time there is in between thinking of an idea and having that reality. So as a human, I can think, oh, I want to have a house. And I need to pay for it for 10 years. So in 10 years, I can get a house. Mm-hmm. But with God, it's instant. And so the more you become like God...
Nature is also the what God did. And nature takes time. What you speak about is about a miracle.
A miracle,
yes.
A miracle?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it is not the permanent way of acting of the divinity. We work with the nature, but we understand that nature is collaboration with the Creator. We complete His work.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I understood is the difference between human and God, like, is the time between imagination to creation. And so the more powerful you become, the less time, like if you are a king, you can imagine a house or a palace and it can be done within a very short amount of time, rather than if you are someone.
Yes, but I think that I have told you that you are not right. because we work with nature, and the nature is also created by God. Mm. And nature takes time. It is not common that you will be able to do things in a few time. Maybe I deceive you, but we must understand that taking time is also a value.
That is a good point. Enjoy the process, right? Enjoy the road.
Yes, exactly. Because we take a long time in our life to be prepared to a result. And it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Because I will be happy when I will finish the college. And when I will finish my studies in university. Yeah. And when I will be married. And when I will have children. And when I will finish my work. Yeah. And when I will die.
Yeah.
So you are all your life you are preparing the next step,
yeah.
And you are not happy.
Yeah.
The happiness is to understand that every step of life has a signification, has a meaning.
Yeah. That's a good discussion. So there is two beliefs here. There is minimalism. Be happy with what you have. Don't ask for too much. Don't want too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other mindset that is think as big as you can, want as much as possible. What does the...
There is no contradiction.
Oh.
You are happy of what you have, but you want more.
Yeah.
The fact that you want more doesn't disturb you to be happy of what you have now.
Mm.
So you have two kinds of perfection.
Yeah.
You are there to be perfect that it is accomplished, and you are in perfectioning your way. So you have two ways simultaneously.
Yeah. So you can dream. So is it good to dream big as you possibly can?
And more than I can, yes.
Yes, so that's good.
Absolutely.
Who
it is very important. What?
Who says that is good? Because some people say, no, stay there.
Ah, because you are connected with the infinite. The creator, the God, is infinite.
Yeah.
So if you have an aspiration to infinite, to infinity.
Infinity, yeah.
So you are connected with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
God is infinity?
Absolutely.
So the closer you get to God, do more.
You cannot be closer. You can be more connected.
Okay. Yes. The more connected you become to God, the more you want to dream bigger.
Yes, exactly. But you are also happy of what you have now because you know that it is a part of a plan.
Okay. So just to let you know, all my family tells me, think small, don't want too much. Think, you know, it's enough.
Okay, so, but your family says this because they do not know that you are connected to the whole cosmos. You are a cosmic person. You are not only what you are now and here.
Yeah.
You are a part of a very big and a huge plan concerning billions of years.
Mm.
You are a slight part.
Mm.
And if you understand that you are connected to all this, so you change. You are very much, you are more living. You can win even death. Because, you know, persons are afraid from death.
Mm.
You don't have to be afraid. You pass from one world to another world.
Now, what's the other world?
We must understand that we are here not for one generation.
Yeah.
We are here from the beginning of the creation to the end of creation. Mm. And our present life is one part of all this trajectory, plan. Yes.
What is your purpose?
My purpose is to make a better world. Yes, I think that...
For who?
For everyone. And also...
For animals?
Also, why not? You know, animals are a part of the living entity. So we are connected with them. There is a solidarity between men and animals. And the fact that you eat meat is also a part of this connection.
Do you eat meat?
Yes, I do. I'm not vegetarian.
Okay, so yeah. What do you mean? What is the purpose?
I mean that animals, often not every animal, but most of them that are, we are connected with them, contribute to our life. And when you eat, some meat, so you transform this animal in a human being.
Okay.
Yes, so we have a common goal.
Destiny.
Common destiny, yes.
So, let's go back to your purpose. What do you mean by, because it sounds so vague.
Yes, very big.
Vague.
Vague?
Vague, it's like...
yes, I understand, yeah. Yes, everyone contributes to make a better world if he is specialized in what he is about to do. For example, I am a part of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people has a mission to be a blessing for all the families of the world. So it is, and we can speak about the fact that we are the nation who has the capacity of prophecy to be connected with the Adibur.
Speaking?
Yeah, it's a speech of God. Mm. Yes, so we can transmit to humanity this connection. So it is very important to do this. And that is one of the reasons for which we have founded the State of Israel. It is not only for our personal and national goal. Mm. We want to be a central pole of energy. Of spiritual energy and moral energy for the entire mankind. Mm. So that's one of the missions in which I'm involved by promoting Noachism. You know, I don't know if we have heard of this.
No.
There is a lot of contents concerning universal messages of Judaism for the all mankind.
Yep.
And it is called the Law of the Sons of Noah, or if you want, Noachism.
Okay.
We are going to do a Universal Congress in Jerusalem in the next November. Mm-hmm. And there will be Netzigim. Delegates from the whole world. Mm-hmm. And we will make the closing ceremony in the house of the President of Israel, Herzog.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're very involved in politics?
In the politics, but not in a politic game.
Yeah. So your mission is to become the best possible person in what you do and bring that to the world?
Exactly. And I think it is a good definition for everyone.
For everyone. You think, yes, this is the mission for everyone?
Yes, absolutely. Everyone
purpose,
has,
I mean,
can give the thing in which he is good for the all mankind. Yes.
So everyone's purpose, and that is based on all those books. You mm-hmm. think that everyone's purpose is to become...
I don't think that everyone has to read these books. These books are the books of the Torah, of the spirituality of the people of Israel.
Yes.
But it is not for everyone. Everyone has, for example, a doctor. doesn't need to read all of this.
But you read all of this, right?
Yes, I do.
Did you read everything?
Yes.
Okay, that's a lot. So, based on all those books,
yes,
you concluded that the mission, the purpose of humans is to become the best thing at their thing?
It is not the conclusion of these books. These books tell me how to do it.
Okay.
But it is a personal decision.
Okay.
Yes, and I think that every moral person in the world must think in this way. How can I contribute the good for the world? Mm. And the fact that I'm a Jew and I'm also a rabbi make me dependent of these books. Mm. But it is not for everyone. It is everyone can choose
their meaning.
Yes, the way that he, by which he wants to contribute to a better world.
Yes. Okay. So you had quite some success. You, from what I understood, you went from, a new person in Israel, with no name, and you built your name very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Using your wisdom, and you want to share your wisdom for everyone for free.
Yes, but it is not, my goal was not to be famous.
Mm.
Yes, my goal is to spread my ideas. Yes. And even if no one will remember my name, it is not important.
It doesn't matter for you if you share your ideas or someone else share your ideas.
Anyone. I share what I think that no one does it. Mm. If I know that someone does an important thing, so I will not be in rivality with him.
What was the first idea that got a lot of attention?
When I was a child?
No, what was the first idea that got a lot of attention that made you famous?
I think that I did teach people,
yeah.
But I would say for me the most important thing was to meet different persons,
mm-hmm.
and to hear from them their experience of life.
Mm.
That is the reason for which I decided to teach in an institution in which a person comes from the whole world. And many, Machon Meir, Meir Institute in Jerusalem,
yeah.
In which come a lot of persons with different ways of life.
Mm.
And it is very, very interesting, for example, to hear in 50 minutes a person who tells you what he spent his life, his spiritual life, during 30 years.
Yeah.
So I can reach a lot of knowledge, human knowledge, psychological knowledge, from persons who I meet. And when I saw that I'm able to do this work, it was very important for me.
Okay. Based on the Bible and all those books,
mm-hmm.
what is money?
Money is spiritual achievement.
Okay.
Animals don't have money.
Right.
Money is a fiction.
Right.
It is abstract.
Yeah.
You have a piece of paper and you can buy with this an entire house.
It's fake.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it means that a man is able to make abstraction. And so I would say that money is connected to
ownership.
Yes, yeah. It's connected to ownership, because the first commandment to according to the oral law, the first commandment to the first man was not to steal. Because my money...
To Adam?
Yes, Adam. Yes.
Yes. So the first thing God told...
Yeah, is not to steal.
Not to steal.
Yes.
But and there's no one to steal.
What?
He is the only human. There's
exactly.
No one to steal.
So he could not steal. That's this is the definition of human being, the first definition of human being, the ownership. The fact that you have, your personality is extended to what you have. Mm. And so, if you want to have a human society which can have the right to be considered as real human, so you must also have the conscious of ownership, the meaning of abstract money.
Okay, so what are you saying here?
Yes, I would say that in contrary of, for example, Christianity, Judaism doesn't consider materialistic goals as
a bad thing.
Yes.
So Christians would say that money
from
is
Christianity,
bad.
Essentially, in Catholic current, that you have spirituality and materialism, and spirituality is the it is a kind of dualism between spirit and matter. And for Judaism, that is monotheistic, considers that the will of God is when you have an entire world with spirituality and materiality.
Okay, so money is a spiritual.
Yes, spirit. It is a sign of spirituality of man.
So the more money you have, the more spiritual you are?
No. That's not. But when we respect the property
friends?
Of your friend, for example, from the other person, when you respect his property, so you have the conscience that there is a connection between man and world, and there are also limits in the world. And limits are able to make you grow. Because if you don't have limits, you don't know it's mine and it's yours, you don't know this, so you are in a kind of very vague world. A world in which there is no signification to first step, second step, and so on.
Okay. Can I explain to you how I see money, and you tell me if you think it's correct?
Yes. What do you say?
I see money as a source of value.
How do you
we
mean?
We value time, we value food, we value different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I brought you a present, right? So that you will value the present. But money is one of the easiest way to measure value.
How do you mean?
That if I give you a present,
mm-hmm.
You cannot measure how much value this is. But if I give you money, or you give me money, we can value how much value there is here.
Yes.
It's easy to measure. So, the more successful a business is, the more money they make, the more value they provide to society, of course, if they do it ethically and good.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
It's interesting, but I have a question about this.
Yeah.
How do you understand that, for example, many values were transmitted to the world by poor persons, persons who did not have any money? For example, if you think about Socrates.
What is that?
Socrates.
Don't know.
The most important philosopher in Greece.
Okay.
Yes. He was very influent.
Yeah.
But he did not have any money.
Yeah.
And most of the values of the Western world are based on his teachings.
Yes.
So how do we explain it?
He was not good at business. But he was good at
maybe
providing
it was
money.
Not important for him.
Yes, probably it was not. It's harder to measure then. But it's still valuable.
Yes, but money is not the only value in the world.
It's not. Yeah. No. Okay. No, it's one way to measure. It's the easiest way to measure value.
Yes, but if you understand, I have for you a present, and this present is not of a very high price.
Yes.
But it is. It can be an expression of my friendship, my love, or my animosity also.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't know if the fact that there things have a price, it means that it measures values.
Exactly. It's just one of the ways to measure value.
One of them. Yes.
Yes.
My effort, for example.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Time, effort, significance. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Okay. Who was the richest person in the world?
A virtuous is a person.
Richest. No, who was the richest person in the world?
You want a name?
I want to know who was it.
I don't know who is him.
I heard it's Solomon, King Solomon.
Wisest.
He was not
the most virtuous. He was the wisest man in the world. If you want a virtuous person, we have many. I think that you can think about Abraham, for example.
Was he the richest?
Yes, because he wanted to transform the whole world in good.
He was the richest. Money-wise, yes. So how did he make his money, and what can we learn from that?
He made his money because he was a kind of king. He was the head of an important family, and he used his capacities in bringing persons to values. For example, the tradition says that he had a tent in which he received persons. Men, women. And he gave them something to eat. And when they ate, he told them to thank the one who gave to them this food.
Yeah.
And they wanted to be grateful for Abraham, and he said, no, the person, the one who gave you this food is the creator of the world. It was his way to use his money and his goods to spread his values that are the faith. Yes.
So how did he make his money? Or grow his money.
He was a shepherd.
He was a king. He was a shepherd.
Yes, he was a king, a kind of king. He was a chief. If you understand, he was a chief who had a lot of animals, and he was personally a shepherd. But he had many people around him who worked for him. Yes.
And how did he grow his money or made his money?
Because person wanted to be connected with him. What he said gave men the sensation that they are free.
So he was a teacher.
He was a teacher. He was free from idolatry, from paganism.
To know.
Paganism, the worshipping of many gods. He was against the worship of all these gods, and he told man that there is only one God. Yes, and so it was liberating. It was he gave persons the knowledge that man can be free. He's not a subject of many entities that that make the man a slave.
So you're saying that the richest person in the world was a philosopher, a religious philosopher teacher?
He was not the richest. He was virtuous.
Virtuous.
Yes.
Okay. I want to speak about the richest person.
Richest person?
Yes.
Ah, maybe you have many. For example, we have, today, you know, we have...
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. I'm quite surprised that you think that speaking about money and business is my specialty. I'm not. But maybe you are deceived.
I'm not.
No, you're not. Okay. The richest person, for example, in the time of the second temple period, was a person called Nakdimon Ben Gurion.
Yeah.
Yes. He was rich. I don't know how he did his money. And he was one of the pillars of the defense of Jerusalem against the war with the Romans.
So I understood, because I speak a lot about religion with AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that King Solomon was one of the richest.
Yes.
And I understood that he made his money from consulting, teaching.
No, it was by international trading. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Because in his time, the two main
politicians.
Matsumot.
The biggest.
Yes, the biggest states.
Yes.
Egypt and Babylon and Assyria was in a stage of sinking, and he was he had a kingdom quite wide between Egypt and Babylonia, and he was connected by the sea, even to North Africa and Greece, and also by the Red Sea with India and Ethiopia. So he was a central channel, a channel of transmitting values and also precious metals and so on, from India to the east, to the west.
Yes.
And it was an occasion of bringing powers from the old world to his capital, Jerusalem. He was also a very wise man. So persons came from the old world to listen what he has to say.
Yeah. So in one sentence, what did he make most of his money from?
Ah, he built the Temple of Jerusalem.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was the center of the spiritual world in his time.
But what did he make most of his money from?
From where?
Where, yes.
Yes, from a land called Ophir. Ophir, there are many hypotheses where it is. Some say it is in Ceylon, Sri Lanka.
No, I'm asking, where did he make from, what did he sell, or how did he make most of his money? In one sentence, King Solomon.
He made his money by trading. He was changing. He was
exchanging.
Yes, his products, the products of the land of Israel, and the gold. He got gold, and also rare
metals,
and also rare stones and animals, monkeys, for example, and elephants, ivory. Who were very wanted in his time. Yes.
So he was a middleman.
Yes.
That is so interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Zuckerberg, the richest person in the world, is a middleman as well.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know him personally. No.
No, but his platform is a middleman.
Yes, yes.
Right. Facebook, Meta.
Yes. More you are open and exchanging, more you are rich. Because if you want only to keep your money, your goods with you yourself, so you began to be, so you become very little.
Mm.
Yes, if you are large, and you can give, so you become not a vessel, but you become a way. So you receive and you give.
How do you do that?
By your will. You must think what is more important for you, to receive or to give. There are persons who give for receiving, and there are persons who receive to have the possibility of giving.
Yeah.
And the second one is the more moral. The most important thing is not yourself, but your fellowship, your fellow. And so you are able, you agree to receive because you want to give to another one.
I think that is the most powerful thing I've heard till now.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are persons, concerning a teaching of one of the Kabbalists of the 20th century, the Rabbi Ashlag, who said that there are four stages of the will. When you are a child, a baby,
yes,
you want to receive because you want to receive for receiving.
Okay.
So it is absolutely immoral.
Yeah, kids are very selfish, right?
Yes. But it is his role. His role. So he's so cute. You love babies, but if you think, what it was if he was an adult?
Mm-hmm.
He was a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
But he cannot do anything other. So you are happy with the fact that he receives.
Mm-hmm.
After this, when he grows and he becomes a child, so he wants to give for receiving. We will play outside, but you must first wash the dishes. So he will wash the dishes because he wants to receive. He gives for receiving.
I love it. Yeah.
But when you become a teenager, you come to a third stage, which is that you want to give for giving. You are an idealist.
Teenagers are the most selfish people in the world.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
There are also ideals.
Yeah.
And they are often ready to sacrifice his life for an ideal.
Teenagers?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you sure? Today?
Yes, today too. Because there is also they know that it is not possible only to give.
Mm-hmm.
So they are often despaired of the meaning of the life. And they want, they try to over, litgaber,
overcome.
To overcome, yes, to overcome this problem. But this is the reason for which there are the most psychological problems at this age. But it is a kind of foolishness, because the only one who can give without receiving is God himself. And you can see that persons in history who thought that they are God are often young persons and celibatory.
Celibatory?
Singles, yeah.
Yes.
I'm influenced by French.
Yes.
Yeah, and single, because we do not need anyone. So if I don't need anyone, I can think that I'm a God. But the fourth stage of willing is when I accept the fact that I'm a receiver. I accept this. But I transform this receiving in giving. For example, I received life, so I have children. I have money, so I give him to another. I've learned something, so I teach it. And the, in this way, the most important weight is the other and not me. So so it is a way of being rich. If you are interested to be rich, but I think that at this step, you are no more interested by yourself. You are interested by what you can give to others.
I love this. This is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is something I struggle with sometimes. To give to receive.
And receive to give.
Yes. I sometimes give to receive, but the most success I think I've gotten was when I gave. When I received to give.
It is a problem of love.
Yeah.
In our world.
Yeah.
Persons think
yeah.
that love is to receive. I give something to the other because I want to receive pleasure, for example.
Yes.
But the ultimate way of love is the contrary. You use your pleasure for helping the other to receive. You want to give to the other. So for example, there is a very great problem in marriage.
Marriage,
yes. Because persons often think, what can I get from this relationship?
Yeah.
Yes, but the good way is to think, what can we do together for another person? For example, when I and my wife, we have children.
Yeah.
So we have in common a project. Mm. A project that is not me and her, but it is the child.
Yep. So you think, most people think, what can I get out of this relationship?
Yes.
But a better way to think is, what can we do for the world?
Yes, exactly. Together, yes. So the next generation is a sign of optimism. The life will continue. From us to other generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we overcome the problem of death, because we give life.
Yeah. And how do you know how to give?
What?
How do you know how to give?
Ah, we try.
You try.
Yeah, exactly. You are not, you cannot know in the first step that you will success. But to try, you can.
So, you know, there's, as a business, there's two paths you can go. You can give to the poor, mm-hmm. and get nothing. And you can give to the rich.
The best is to give to the rich.
Yes.
Because you promote a social revacha. We'll try.
Welfare.
Yes, because when you give to the rich, you promote the welfare of the whole society. When you give to a poor, you have made a good thing for only one person.
Yeah.
You do not develop. You do not develop the general economy.
Mm.
It is important to help the poor. But it is not the main goal of charity. The best charity, according to Maimonides, one of our thinkers, is to give to a rich person that so he will not sink, and he will be successful to enrich the whole society.
So everyone says give to the poor, but you say the opposite. Don't give to the poor, give to the rich.
No, I don't know, don't give, but okay. It is better to give to the rich. Yes.
And
it is not capitalism.
No, I don't know what capitalism is. I don't do those things. So why is it better to give to the rich and more than to the poor?
Because the rich are the pillars of the welfare of the whole society. So,
because they manage the money and they can give to everyone.
Yes, exactly. So they give occasions for persons to work, to get welfare.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and from what I found is, I used to work with less people who had less money, but it's more difficult. And when you give to someone who is rich, he can give you much more.
Yes, but for the poor too. The poor, if you give him, you see a homeless in the street, and you say, "How much do you need?" He says, "I need $20,000," and you give him, and you go.
Yeah.
So you helped him to buy more alcoholic beverages.
Exactly. That's why I don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but you can give him.
Loan.
And you say you have to give back this money in 3 months, and this is the condition is that you will open a business.
Yes.
So you can help him. You gave him less money, but you help him to rebuild himself.
Yeah. I heard there is in the Jewish Bible, there is this principle of giving 10% or 20% of your profit.
Yes.
And donating it.
Yes.
I was fascinated by it. Every time I think about it, I think like, wow, I can do so much. But then I think, okay, if I give it to the homeless, that will feed the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That will give me, there will be money that goes to drugs. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So,
so you have to give this money.
First, why give?
Why?
Yeah, why give 10% or 20%?
Ah, because the money is not really yours. Mm. It is a useful tool. Yes, a useful tool, but it is not really a part of your life. You are inserted in the life in general, and it was your destiny to concentrate in your profession, such a sum. But it is not really yours. It is for the welfare of all humanity. So you are obliged to give. It is not charity in a Jewish law.
I'm not obliged to give.
Huh?
I'm not obliged to give. I'm not obligated to give.
Ah, it is when if you think that charity is voluntary. Yeah. But in Jewish law, charity is a...
obligation.
Tax. It is a tax. Mm. And if you don't give what you can give, the poor are authorized to come to the court to take from you. Yes. So givings who are a tax, you are obligated, but there is also what you can do voluntarily. It's outside of this.
So why would I give 10 or 20% of
because
my money?
It is not yours.
It is mine.
It passed by you.
Yeah, but yeah. It is mine. I can control
for
it.
For a time. It is yours for a time.
Yes.
It's not eternal.
So why would I give?
Because the money is not done for to make you happy, but to make the world happy.
Hmm. And now we go back to the thinking of why shall I give, or shall I give to receive, right? And not shall I receive
yes,
to give.
It is egoism.
Yes.
Yes. But if you are idealistic, in the contrary, so you are able to be more strong that nature. Nature is based of the wanting, of the will to receive. But you are a human being, so you have a soul. Mm-hmm. And this soul is a overwhelming nature, and you are able to be in the resemblance of the Creator. God gives the life; He doesn't receive, and so you are in His resemblance when you are giving.
So what I understand is that it's kind of like a philosophy of abundance versus scarcity. Scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. When you don't want to give 10% or 20% of your money, you think, okay, let's keep it. Mm-hmm. Let's hold it. And there's no abundance there. There's just limits.
Exactly.
And when you give, you're in circulation. Mm-hmm. You let the money flow. You give and you trust that you will get again. And that's abundance.
It is exact that you will give, that you will get again,
yeah.
But it is not your goal. Their goal is to make the world better.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So it's all energy at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's all here energy, correct?
Exact.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. I was thinking, so one of the reasons I'm here is because I was, my brother, he's becoming spiritual, and he told me about this 10 or 20%. And I was thinking, what can I give 10% or 20% of my money to? I don't know. I can give it to my family. I can give it, if I give it to homeless, it will go to drugs. I don't want to do that.
No, you must be with wisdom.
Yes. So I was thinking, the best thing I can do is instead of giving my money, I can give my business or my time in business to do interviews like this with you and then pay video editors or edit the videos myself and share them with the world.
Exactly. Yes. You are in the right way.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm not giving money. I can donate the money.
You
to
give what
video
you
editors.
Have. And what you have is your wisdom, your capacities, your time. It is also giving something.
So it's 10% or 20% of your efforts.
Exactly.
It's not necessarily money.
Yes.
Is that true?
You are right. Yes.
Because I understood it was only money.
No, because it is measurable.
Measurable.
You can measure.
Mm.
But you can say, I will give my time. It
yes.
is. It costs money.
Yes.
Yes.
That is beautiful. And I think I can give much more if I do things like this than give my money to...
Yes.
Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
it is not forbidden to give money.
I don't know. I don't know where to give the money.
Ah, so
I do give it to my family now.
Yeah. If you want to ideas to whom the person who are that you must give to them, I can say for you. Yeah. For example, your family is before other persons,
yeah.
And your people. Before any other people.
Really?
Yes, yes.
So yeah. A random homeless is less important than my family.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. Because a lot of people say, I actually spoke to a rabbi before and he told me, you need to give money without expecting anything and without even them knowing that you gave the money.
It is better, yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a personal interest. But you can also want to write your name if it will cause another other persons to give to.
Sorry.
Yes, I mean, I will give some money for a good enterprise,
yes.
For a school, for example.
Yes.
And I will...
ask.
I will ask that my name will be written in the front of the school.
Is that good or not good?
As
that's good.
It may be not good, but it may be important if it will cause other persons to give also for this school. They will say, I have an interest that my name will be inscribed. As personally, it is not important for me. But if it will cause other persons to give to, yeah, so I will do it.
That is very interesting. Who do you donate to? What do you do with?
With my money?
Your money or your time?
For example, I give you my time.
Okay.
In this interview.
Okay.
Yes. I give my efforts in many fields in Israel. In politics.
It sounds like you don't do 20%. It sounds like you do more percent.
I do more. Yes, because in the Jewish law it is said that if you are very rich, you can give more than 20%. Only if you are very rich. But I think that I'm very rich, not in money, but in capacities.
Do you want to be rich?
No.
Why?
Because it will take from me a lot of time. And I need this time. I think the most important value in the world is time. So I'm not ready to make all the efforts that are needed to become rich. But if it will happen in a way that doesn't need from me efforts, why not?
What do you value the most?
Between?
Everything.
The most?
Yeah, what do you value the most?
I think that it is very difficult to answer because it deals with the most inner part of the person. And
I ask you,
can I definite my soul?
I ask you, what do you value the most?
I do value the freedom.
You value freedom?
Yes. It is the most important thing. If you are not free, you are not really free, you cannot be really not a holy person, not a, you are not moral. Freedom is the base of what makes the difference between us and every natural being.
Do you think that the difference is freedom?
Yes. Freedom is a sign of our soul.
A tiger is quite free, I'd say.
A tiger is not free.
No?
He has instincts.
Oh. Free will.
Free will. No, he doesn't have.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you mean.
You have a...
No, I don't know. I'm thinking, flowing. Okay. Do you have anything more you want to talk about?
I think that if any human being is interested in making a better world,
yes,
he must support the state of Israel and the Jewish people.
Why?
Because we are the more active entity in the world and history to make, and we proved it, to make the better world.
Why? The people online the trust is at the lowest it's been in years, I think.
Yes, but we are not living only in our life. We are a part of history.
Yes. So why should people trust the Jews to lead?
Not to lead, but to accomplish their role. And the role of the people of Israel is to establish a better society that can be a model for the all families of the world.
So we got to inspire. Or the Jews got to inspire.
Yes.
How do you think the Jews can inspire the world in the best way?
We have a lot of, I would say, abilities to definite exactly moral values. So we can see that today that civilizations are crashing because people do not people are not sure of what is the goal, the destiny of the human being. And I think that in Judaism you have some answers to this research.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
And tell me if it's out of line.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that your son...
Yes, was killed in a... in a terrorist attack, yes.
Yes. Most people would suicide, kill themselves. Like, it's the most painful thing you can experience as a human, almost, isn't it?
You're absolutely not right.
Not right.
Yes. Because when person are subject to such experiences, they must ask themselves, what would the person that we lost, what would he want that will happen to me after this? Would my son be interested that I will be crushed? Mm-hmm. Would he want me to grow?
Yes,
I think that he wants to grow.
Yes,
so my fidelity to his will is to success.
Wow.
It is for him.
So how did you take it when it happened?
It gave me the will of to take life more seriously, mm-hmm. and to success in many enterprises that I know that would be important for him if he was alive.
So you took that tragic nightmare,
yes,
and you took the power out,
yes,
of that,
exactly,
and gave it to yourself to grow.
Exactly.
I guess that is the best thing to do also when you break up from a wife there's a breakup, which is also very painful,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of feeling down, you take it,
yeah,
and you use it to amplify yourself.
Exactly.
You take the energy and you use it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it hard?
No. It was for me very simple and very true. Because if I believe in something, so it is not difficult to be to make it.
Mm.
Yes.
My grandma, when I was 18 years old, she gave me money. She gave me, I think, 20,000 euros.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I never had so much power. And I always was thinking, what would my grandma want me to do with this money, with this power? And that's what I went and did.
Ah, exactly.
So it's exactly the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind
in
of...
in another dimension.
Yeah, it's funny how I mixed kind of like death with power,
mm-hmm.
and it's... or we mixed it, right? Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you for you too.